read some verses here that's been working in my heart for days, and a thought on my heart that has worked in me, as Brother Tim said in the Sunday school hour this morning, about many weeks, what he delivers is what has worked in him, and this is many times it is the same with me, and this has worked in me very heavily and been under conviction and condemnation through this scripture, and trust that the Lord will touch your heart with it as well. God help us all to move up closer to Him. And I don't think it's any coincidence that we sung, the last song was sung this morning about wanting more of Him. And I pray the Lord will help us through the preaching, through the scripture, to see our need of more of Him and desire to have it in these days. Matthew chapter 5, when you found your place, if you'd stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. This chapter is the beginning of the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to begin in chapter 5 and last all the way toward the end of chapter 7. The Lord here is speaking physically while He's on the earth, preaching and teaching to His disciples and the multitude that's following Him. And He's going to say a lot of things and cover a lot of ground in these three chapters. But I want to look this morning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, if God would help me and you'd pray for me, on "We Need More Light." Here in this scripture, the Lord is dealing with light. And He's talking to this group of people, His disciples, and this multitude that's following Him about the light. Now, in this scripture, the word darkness is never mentioned, but any time that light is ever dealt with, darkness is always understood to be the opposite of the light. We understand in reading the scripture, and I'm just going to take my time and preach how it's on my heart this morning, if God will help me. But we understand in reading the scripture in the very beginning that God, in Genesis chapter 1, that He spoke light into existence. That in the beginning darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the earth was without form and void. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And the Bible said there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And then the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 4, I believe it is, that God divided the light from the darkness. And the light He called day, and the darkness He called night. But now that is in physical creation, and in physical terms, God divided or separated light from darkness. And we all understand that when the sun comes up, we say that the day has broke, and that is the day. The sun shines outside today. It is day. And there'll come a period of time that the sun will set, we'll see it no more for that day, and we call that night, and darkness comes upon. And there is a separation of light from darkness, of day from night in the physical creation of the world. But there's also a separation that God made in spirituality from light and darkness. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. Light and darkness cannot cohabitate. It is an impossibility to be in light and darkness at the same time. Now we understand that darkness when we speak about darkness or what the Bible has to say about darkness, that darkness is a product of the absence of light. But when there is no light, then there is darkness. But that's why there was such darkness upon the face of the earth before the Spirit of God moved and God spoke into existence light. Everything was in darkness. But that's a type and a picture of the sinner. That it, without God, every man is in darkness. And so darkness is not just a product of the absence of light, but darkness is also, according to the Word of God, a position that a man is in. Paul wrote to the church and he said, ye were sometimes darkness. There was a time before Christ moved in, before you were born again, that you were in darkness. But not just were you in darkness, but you were darkness. And that is a position of all men apart from God, is darkness. That was the position of the world before God moved. It was in darkness. That was the position of earth before God spoke. Light into existence was darkness. And that's how it is in the heart and the soul of a sinner before God moves and works. And the Spirit of God does a miraculous work in your heart. Then you are in darkness. But I'm glad that darkness is not where that mankind was created to be. But I'm glad God can translate us out of darkness and bring us into light. The same miraculous work that went on at creation when God spoke light out of darkness, it's the same miraculous work that goes on inside the heart of a sinner when God brings us out of darkness and births us into the light. After you're born again, you grow no more in darkness. You're not to walk in darkness. Though there must be, according to scriptures, the ability of the child of God to somehow walk in darkness. For John said, if, and he's writing to the church in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son cleanseth us from all sin. That is sin after we're born again. That is sin after we're saved. So it is the will of God for the child of God to walk in the light. Our position is no longer in the darkness, but we have been made and brought over into the light. Darkness is not just a position. Darkness is not just a product of the absence of light. But according to the Word of God, darkness is a power. There is a power of darkness. Matter of fact, Paul said, use this language, that he has translated us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. We studied for weeks in Sunday school in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we are not wrestling against one another. We're our fight. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and against powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So there is a power of darkness that is at bay. There is a power of darkness that is at work now in the world, among the church, against the people of God. If we as the people of God are light in Christ, then darkness is the opposite of light. So the power of darkness is in opposition against the power of light. And so here Jesus is speaking that they are the light. Now he says in another portion of scripture that he is the light of the world as long as he's in the world. But there's coming a day, and he knows that he's going to go out of the world and he's going to send his people for it in the world to be the light of the world, that he will put his light inside of us. There's a great type and a picture in creation when God creates the two great lights, one great light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. We understand that the great light is the sun. All the power, all light comes from the sun, then the lesser light is the moon. Scientifically speaking, if you study the moon, it has no light source of itself. It simply absorbs the light of the sun and reflects it upon the earth. And that's a type of the church and the people of God. We get our light from God. We get our light from Him. We're to absorb Him, to be around Him, and to shed His light through us on the world. And we're living in days of darkness such as I've never seen before. I mean, there's always, in this world, there's always been an element of darkness. We understand that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. And the air that he works in is an air of darkness. And he is bringing darkness. The Bible said, if the light of the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, lest they should believe and be brought to the truth. He deals in darkness. His work is against the light, contrary to the light. And I'm telling you, in these days of darkness, we need more light in this day. Amen. I'm not saying that he needs more light. He has all the light he's ever had. He's the greatest source of light there's ever been. I mean, we study in the book of Revelation about that city that he's prepared, and the Bible said there'll be no need for the sun or the moon or the stars, for the Lamb will be the light thereof. But you and I, as we sung this morning and know more about it, to have a deeper walk with him, a greater fellowship with him, we need more of the light in this day. We need more of him in us. We need a closer walk so that we can shine brighter. For my Bible tells me that they are to see in us the light of God, which means that it ought to be evident in us. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need the light. We need more light. I begin to think, as Christ writes here and speaks here to this multitude, he talks about a candle and he talks about a city, and he defines to them when it's in its rightful place, when everything is working in its rightful order, then the light cannot be hid. He said if a city is set on a hill, it cannot be hid in the darkness even of the night. If the city's up high where it can be seen, then the lights of the city will shine even in the midst of the darkness. I thought about, we sat this week out on Brother Yoakley's back porch, and over in the distance, in the middle of darkness in all the woods, there's a little light shining in the middle, and it caught my attention. I thought, somebody must live over there. And I'm telling you, sometimes it seems like in these days darkness is all around us, but if we'll let the light of God shine in us and shine through us in this dark day, somebody will take notice, and God will get the glory out of our light in the darkness. Amen, he said, if a city set on a hill, if it is where it should be, if all the right things come about, if all the circumstances and all the conditions are what they should be, then that city cannot be hid. He said, men, don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, and I'll deal with that in just a minute. But he said he puts it on a candlestick, and when it's there, it gives light to all that are in the house. When the light is what it's supposed to be, and the light is where it's supposed to be, then the light cannot be hid. It cannot be hid. But I want to say, the light should not be hid. But because according to Scripture, there is a way. If the light is not where it's supposed to be, if the conditions are not what they're supposed to be, see, the light's always present. Just because the light's on the bushel doesn't mean the light's went out. The light's always there. I thought about the song we sing in that salt back book that says the flames flickered, but the fires never went out. I'm glad when I got born again, there's a light in me. And sometimes the conditions of my life are not very well for the light. They're not beneficial to the light, but I'm glad the light's still there. But it's up to you and me to make sure the candlestick's where it ought to be. The conditions are right for the light to shine in our life. I thought about, and I know there's lots and lots and lots of significance that I probably don't understand, and lots of types that are probably above me. But I thought about, you know, when Christ is riding over there through the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation, the first part, John said, I turned and he said, lo, I saw a man like the Son of Man standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, holding seven stars in his hand. And the Lord spoke to him, said, the seven stars are the seven angels to the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And then he writes that first letter to that one that had left their first love. And he said, except you repent and return, he said, I'll come and remove your candlestick out of your place. He did not say he'd take their candle away, but he did say he'd take their candlestick. That was their ability to shine. That was their ability to make a difference. That was their ability to let the world know that they were what they said they were. And I'm afraid in this day that me and the people of God have misplaced their candlestick. It's been moved out of the way. The candle's not where it ought to be, but the light is hidden in this day. He said, men, don't light a candle. And this is what I want to deal for just a few minutes and I'll be done. I mean, it's weighed heavy on my heart for the last few days. And we went away, you know, and I thank God for the ability to get away. It's good every now and again. And the Lord's been good to us. I don't have any sad stories to tell. But, you know, he allowed us to buy a piece of property up there in Kentucky, a place, you know, we've always wanted to farm. And we're just going to go and fix up the house maybe eventually, you know, a long project and set up some feeders and all that to hunt and do. You know, just have a place to get away. And it's real slow up there and there's nothing really to worry about. And I don't worry about everything's just getting so bad everywhere. I don't much want to go away anywhere, and I thought that'd be a good place for me and my family to go, and some of you may get to go with us sometime, and just a place where you don't have to worry about what's around you. And we got in the car and we headed up there, and the Lord had already been dealing my heart some about some things in my life and about letting my light shine a little brighter and knowing more about him. And we got in that house and we was working in the back. It's real dark and damp and just a mess, stuff everywhere. We pried the back door open. It's covered in plastic. And you just have to see it. I mean, it's a mess. We got the plastic down and the sunshine come in. And my wife made a statement. She said, oh, there's the light. That's what we need. And the Holy Ghost smote my heart. And he said, is that how it is in your life? Is there some things need to be ripped back to let my light shine out of you? Like it once did and like it should and could in this day. Are there some bushels over your candle this morning? Is there some things to stand in your way of your light shining? Have you hid your light? Is there something causing you not to shine like it ought to shine? There are things that come in our life, and as I said already, I'm not trying to get anybody to feel sorry for us, but I mean, I preach from this scripture. Brother Jeremy just kind of spun it on me and said, will you preach at my church Wednesday night? And I did, and I tried to preach a little bit of this, but it hadn't let me. And I said, Lord, I don't know nothing else to do but preach to my people out of that verse again, and maybe it'll work in you like it's working in me. And we got in that house, and things was falling apart, and it just went from bad to worse, and we had piled up a bunch of stuff, and I had already preached this, and preached that we ought not to let things stand in the way. And the first thing I thought about that bushel, you know, it could signify many things, something that'll hinder or cover the light. And the first thing that the Holy Ghost brought to my mind was suffering. Is suffering causing your light to be hid in this day? Of the problems that you're going through, the circumstances of the situations of your life that seem like you shouldn't be going through them, and you question, Lord, why have I been brought to this place? Why are these things going on? Why am I having to deal with this? Why is my family doing this? Why are my children going this way? Why is my life falling apart? Why is my family, whatever it may be? Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, it's not about what you've done. Many of the problems in our life are not a direct result of what we've done, but they are God ordained. And if they're God ordained, they'll be God honored, meaning that God will get the glory. That's what he meant when he said, let your light shine before me. and even in the bad times as well as the good times, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. And I preached that. And man, seemed like from Wednesday night on, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, everything that started to fall apart did fall apart. And I thought, Lord, and I was the first one to say, in my mind, because we're flesh, and I'm just being open and honest with you, I'm preaching my heart to you this morning. In my mind, I thought, Lord, what did I do? Did I make a wrong choice? Did I not do something right? And it brought it back to my heart again this morning that it ain't always about what we've done or what we've not done. But if God wants to get the glory out of it, then I say so be it. I mean, it may not be pleasant at the time, but my life had worked and others had come up to help us and they had worked and they had worked through stuff, I mean awful stuff, to try to salvage some things, and we had it all. It started raining on Friday. We said we'll pack everything up in totes and leave it here in the living room floor, and then we'll pack it up Saturday morning when it's not raining and go home. And we went back to the house, me and my father-in-law and Dale went back to the house of my grandfather-in-law Saturday morning. Everything was gone. I walked up on the steps, knew something was wrong, because one of the things we had in the house was laying out in the yard, and my father-in-law walked in and he said, "Lord, it's all gone." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's all gone." And immediately it come all crashing down. And I thought, "Lord, what have I done?" But it come to my heart. He said, "You better let your light shine." And I tried my best to hold my composure. I knew my wife was upset. I called her. And she started crying. Said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "It'll be okay. It'll just all be okay." And I'm telling you this morning, whether we got it, and we did get most of it back, thank God. But whether we did or whether we didn't, it'll be okay, because God put it in me to let my light shine in the midst of the darkness that we're in. Yes, sir. You may be here this morning, and there may be circumstances and situations beyond your control that you've tried to fix and you can't fix it, and you've tried to figure out why you're going through it and you can't figure it out, and you've tried to do this and you've tried to do that, and nothing you can do can make anything better, and it seems like you're in limbo. And I know it ain't no coincidence that Brother Tim talked what he did this morning about waiting on God, and it ain't too fun to wait. I mean, Brother Jeremy started calling around. We had a pretty good idea about what had happened, or at least one or two things, and he called and they didn't answer, and he called and they didn't answer, and I thought, well, here we are, we're going to have to leave, not get. I mean, I wasn't patient. I wanted it to work out right then, but God wanted to let it work a little longer in me, to let me know if something happens, to everything I have, it'll be okay. I don't say I want something to happen, but it's in my heart this morning to know that God's in control, and He'll make it okay. The writer said He'll make a way when it seems there ain't no way. I've seen Him do it before, and He can do it again. I wonder this morning, is something you're going through keeping your light from shining? It ought not to keep your light from shining. But what it ought to do is it ought to be like fuel to the fire. God wants that something that you're going through. Peter said, "I'd count it all joy when we fall into divers temptation." He said not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you're counted worthy to be a partaker of Christ's suffering, that the power of God may rest on you. Ain't that what he's saying? Ain't he saying? I read that scripture, and my simple little mind understands it this way, that the things we go through in this life are not meant to be a bushel to put our candle under, but they really ought to extend. I don't know what the right term to use is. I'm just going to preach it. It's on my heart. But it ought to extend our candlestick up a little higher, so our light will shine a little brighter, and the next thing we go through a little higher, and a little higher, and a little higher, rather than shoving it under the bushel. We ought not let our suffering hinder us or hamper us. We ought to let it fill the fire and shine in the darkness of this world. Amen, somebody might need to know what they're going through. God can get you through what you're going through, so they'll know that God can get them through what they're going through. And if you shove your candle under the bushel, if we wallow around, and I have been there, and if you've been saved for any length of time and went through any suffering, you've been there. We can read in the scriptures about men of God. I mean, two men of God that were there, and we wallow in our self-pity. We wallow in where we are. We wallow in our conditions. We wallow in our situation. Elijah did it. Others did it. Jeremiah did it. but I'm glad the fire was still there. I thought about Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to shut the book, go home, never come back again, never preach again. But he said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Well, not to use our suffering for a bushel to hide the candle under, but it ought to make the fire burn a little brighter and the light be a little brighter in our hearts and in our lives, that the world can see where we are, who we are. Not us, but Him. But we are somebody because of Him. We're the children of God. We've been born again. We've got a way out of hell and a way into heaven. But much more than that, we've got a personal relationship and a daily walk with God. And our light ought to shine. I wonder this morning, maybe some suffering is being your bushel. You're hiding your candle under that. But then I thought and got to praying. The Lord began to deal with my heart. This is not the only time this verse is mentioned in the Scriptures. Matthew's the only one that mentions it in this context, this long sermon, this long message. But others mention it. Mark and Luke, they mention this same verse, but they have other words in here. Not that there's any contradiction in the Scripture, but they just were under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to write it how the Holy Ghost wanted them to write it. And Mark says, he says, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel or under a bed, but he puts it on a candlestick and it giveth light to all that's in the house. And so I wonder in this day if maybe some sleepiness or some slackness is your bushel that's causing your light not to shine. We're in the sleepiest church age I've ever seen and the slackest church age I've ever seen. I'm just going to preach to you this morning because it's on my heart too. And I love you and I want you to get help from God. And He's helped me. I've been slack about some things. And if you'd be honest and let God the Holy Ghost examine your heart and examine your life, you've been slack about some things too. Paul wouldn't have wrote it had it not been necessary. And if the Holy Ghost had inspired it, we know it is necessary. And Paul said it's now high time that we as the church awake out of our sleep. In the Old Testament, the applications given in the Scripture, it says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that have gotten comfortable and they fell asleep. Woe to the Eutychuses of our church age that have sat down in the window and fell down deep with sleep. And the time's coming, either you get woke up or you fall out the window. And I'm not talking about falling out of grace. I'm not talking about being unsaved. I'm talking about there's going to be consequences for the sleepiness of our actions. I thought about, here I am, a father of four, and I want to see God deal with my girls and see them birthed in the family of God. And I don't want my slackness. I don't want my sleepiness. I don't want my candle to be hid to hinder them from being born again when God deals with their heart. I don't want to see God hamper the work in the church. I don't want to see God hampered in your life, doing work in your life because of my slackness. And it ought to be the same for you. I wonder this morning if there's some slackness in your heart, some slackness in your life that's being the bushel for you to hide your candle under. That your light's not having the effect. It's not shining like it once did or it could in this day. And then I believe it's Luke's gospel. He said, man, don't light a candle, put it under a bushel or in a secret place. But he puts it on a candlestick. The Holy Ghost got to dealing with me about maybe some shame or some embarrassment. Is that what your bushel is? Are you ashamed to let your light shine in this world? Are you ashamed for the people at your work to know that you're a Christian? I mean, this is serious business this morning. And I feel the help of the Lord in my heart. I know the Lord's taking this. Don't hear what I have to say. Hear what He's saying to you this morning. I want Him to take my words. I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. I know it's easy this day to kind of just move back a little bit. It looks like we're overpowered. And it looks like we're surrounded. And it looks like that servant that day with Elisha, when he stepped out and the armies of Syria were all around, he said, what are we going to do, Master? And Elisha said, there's more with us than there is with them. Sometimes in this day, it's easy to feel overpowered. I'm going to tell you, there's a real power of darkness that's at work in this day. And sometimes we get the sense that we can't shine. Then I got to thinking about that little song. It's been rolling in my heart for days. And we think about it like a little kid's song, but I think it'd probably do us grown-ups good to sing it again. And the writer said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And in these days, as dark as this world is, we may think we're just a little bitty light. But if all the little bitty lights come together, it makes a big light. If every one of us would come in the house of God today with our lights on our candlestick and we come together collectively and the big light comes among us, there ain't no darkness in this world can stand around when the light goes to shining. Sometimes in my life, I think, Lord, my light ain't much and I ain't doing no good. Sometimes I come out of the pulpit and go out the door and get in the car to go home. And I think, what a mess I've made. How I've fallen, how I've made a failure. What good am I doing? What difference am I making? But the Lord's reminded me, just this little light of mine. My light, I can't compare my light to your light and you can't compare yours to mine. I can't have yours and you can't have mine. But if we'll compare our light to His light, we'll want more of it every time. And this little light I have, and I'm not diminishing it, and I'm not making light of it, but I am just a little, in the grand scheme of things, I am just a little light, and so are you. But I want to let it shine. I do want to let it shine. One of them verses says, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. The psalmist, I think it was in the book of Psalms, said the light, the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What that scripture means, if you really study it in its context, the word unto. There in that scripture is where we get our word until in the English language. And he's saying that light ought to shine and shine until we get out of here. I want to let mine shine till Jesus comes. I don't want to let anything hinder my light. And I thought, and I'm done this morning. But it come to me this morning while I was sitting up here before the service, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, there may be an issue of separation that's being your bushel for your light. And I understand that the light can't go out. I understand that. And I understand what the verse says, but we need to just understand it and know that it can't be blown out or it can't go out, but it can be hid. And that writer wrote, I won't let Satan blow it out. He might not can blow it out, but he can persuade you to hide it under your bushel. And we live in a world that has so many pulls and hooks and lures on the people of God. And I said already, it must be a possibility. If the Holy Ghost inspired John to write to the church, to the beloved, to the brethren, that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then it must be a possibility for us not to walk in the light. Now I wonder about your separation this morning. I read this verse in this scripture and it arrests my heart every time since Wednesday that I've read it. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It ought to be evident. Your light ought to be evident in your life. And it'll take a measure of separation for your light to be evident. We live in a day where the church wants to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, go where the world goes, dress like the world dresses. And it's just pushing our candle more and more under the bushel. God help us. Now I'm not going to put any standards on you. I'm going to preach what's on my heart and let the Holy Ghost take it from there. But we live in a day, and I'm going to preach men and women this morning. We live in a day where we want to dress more and more and act more and more like the world every day. Because our mind, the battleground's here, and our mind is infiltrated and flooded with images, and we have become desensitized to what really is wrong in this day. We have come to the place where we accept more and more. And we're living in days where where men dress less like men every day, and women dress less like women every day, and we dress more and more like the world. We're living in a day where, and I don't understand, I understand that it is the last days, and we're in that Laodicean age of lukewarmness. But we want to see how close we can live on the edge and still enjoy the blessings of God. We want to see how short we can wear it. We want to see how much we can do, how far we can go, and still have the blessings of God. And what we're not seeing is with every step we take toward the dark, we're pushing our candle a little bit more under the bushel. And Jesus said it's not natural. That's what He's saying in this scripture, and I'm done this morning. He said it's not natural to light a candle and hide the light. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not natural. Not natural for the child of God to hide the light. But I do believe that hiding the light is a war inside of us. Sometimes we give in to the flesh more than we give over to God. And it pushes our candle one more slide toward the bushel. We got many people of God that are probably genuinely saved, and there's no light about them at all because of one or more or all. And there are many other things that I could say, but these are the ones God put on my heart, that they've slid their candle under the bushel, whatever it is, and it's blocked their light from shining. And if there's no light shining, then according to this scripture, if I'm reading my Bible right and following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, if there's no light shining in us, there's no glory for God in us. He said, let your light so shine before men that they, the men, the world, the others, may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. God, help us this morning. And I'm saying us. I've looked over my life and my light. I want it to shine brighter. I need more of the light. And so do you. If you'd be honest with yourself and honest with God. We live in a day where we're desensitized to words. They've become commonplace, words that should never be commonplace. The word Christian should never be a commonplace word. But I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I thought about the disciples being called Christians at Antioch. I'm not elevating men. We're all flesh. And I don't even remember what the message was. I can't remember what the message was. But I hear in my head, some people just say things. You ever been around somebody and they read the Bible a certain way or say things a certain way and it just sticks with you? I can hear it echoing in my head. Brother Hanley Milby saying, I want to be a Christian. I can hear the way he says the word Christian. And it's not just in my head, but it's in my heart this morning. I want to be a Christian. I want my light to shine. I want to know more about my Jesus. The writer wasn't saying for sinners to know more, though they can't. But he said, I'm saved. I want to know more about my Jesus. Yes, I do. Now we need more light in this day. I wonder, as we stand all over the house this morning, I don't know what you need to do. I don't know what's on your heart today.